Well, the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen once told the story of a scientist who traveled around the United States being driven by his chauffeur. And this scientist would give the same talk every night. And he did this about 1,000 times. And the chauffeur would always drive him, and the chauffeur would sit in the audience as well. And after about 1,000 times, the chauffeur said, "You know, I bet I could give that talk as good as you, maybe better." And so the scientist said, "Okay, tomorrow night, we'll trade clothes. I'll dress up as the chauffeur, I'll sit in the audience, and you wear my suit and give the presentation." Well, the presentation was perfect, perfect in every way. And he got a wonderful standing ovation, and afterwards people sat back down, and then a hand went up. And he began to sweat. He says, "Yes, what is your question?" And the fellow said, "Well, doctor, when you took the potassium chloride and mixed it with the hydrochloric acid and compared it to the photographic plates of the sun, how did you come to that equation, E equals MC squared? And he thought about it for a moment and said, you know what, that is such a basic, simple, stupid question, I want to have my chauffeur answer it." Well, in today's gospel, we also have a question that is asked the Lord by the Greeks. What's interesting, though, is that we do not know what the question was, but we do know Jesus' answer. Take a look for a moment here at John chapter 12. A very interesting passage, much overlooked in Scripture. This was 1 week before the Lord died. And isn't it interesting that right after the Lord's birth, wise men from the east came to see Jesus, and now 1 week before his death, wise men from the west came from Greece, and they came to Jerusalem to visit Jesus. So the Lord was visited by the wise men from the east at his infancy and the wise men from the west right before his death. And it calls these men Greeks that came to worship at the Passover feast. So these were Gentiles, these were pagans, but they were obviously men of goodwill because they came to worship in the temple of Jerusalem. They would probably pray in the court of the Gentiles that we've talked about. And so they were at the Passover feast, and they had this burning desire to see Jesus. And so, but notice they did not go to Jesus directly. They used an intercessor, a mediator. They went to Philip. If Philip had a Greek name, he also spoke Greek. He was from Bethsaida, which was the Greek-speaking region around the Sea of Galilee. Now, could they have gone to Jesus directly? Yes, of course. But they decided to go first to Philip. Well, then, once Philip, you know, understands that they want to see Jesus, even Philip doesn't go to Jesus directly. He goes and gets Andrew. Okay? Whenever you see Andrew in Scripture, he is the PR man of the apostles. He would have been a great salesman, a great marketer, because he's always introducing people to the Lord. The three times he's mentioned in Scripture, the first time, after he meets Christ, he immediately goes and gets his brother Simon, whom he introduces to Jesus, and he calls him then Peter. When the crowd was hungry in the desert, there were 5,000 people, it was Andrew who went out and worked the crowd. He found a young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he introduces him to Jesus, and Jesus works his great miracle. And now the third and last time you see Andrew, he takes the Greeks to Jesus and introduces them. Now, what do they say? What is that question that they ask him? Again, we don't know, but many of the scholars, Bishop Sheen included, say perhaps the question was, "Will you come back to Athens with us? Will you leave Jerusalem?" See, everybody knew that the Lord was very close to his death. This was 1 week before his death. Everybody knew that the religious leaders were trying to have Jesus arrested and put to death. Perhaps these Greeks came and said, "You know, we respect you. You are a great teacher. You're a great philosopher. Come back to Athens. We'll set you up in a great hall and you can teach us about the ways of philosophy and religion." Well, because they probably said, "You know, by the way, we've always loved philosophers. We've always treated them well. Of course, except for Socrates that we gave the poison hemlock to. But besides him, normally we do respect and revere our great philosophers." Well, perhaps they invited the Lord to escape Jerusalem, to escape the cross, because of how he answers it. He says, "No, my hour has come to be glorified." Whenever the Lord talks about his glorification, he's referring to his passion, death, and resurrection. And even prays to the Father. He says, if I want to be saved, I would say, Father, should I pray to be saved from this hour of my death? He said, this is the purpose why I came into the world, why I came to this hour. As someone once said, we come into the world to live. Jesus came into the world to die. He was not here as a great moral teacher. He was here as a redeemer, to sacrifice his life for our salvation, to open the gates of heaven, to save us from our sins. That's why the Lord came. So the Lord said he must go through this. He's not going to run away from the cross. He's not going to leave Jerusalem. And then he responds to the Greeks by using an image from nature. See, he doesn't quote Isaiah the prophet and says, yes, I'm the suffering servant. I must be like a lamb led to the slaughter. He doesn't quote scripture because that would not mean much to them. He quotes nature. That was their catechism. That was their Bible. And so he says, imagine a grain of wheat. If it never dies in the earth, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if that grain of wheat is buried, it will then come back, it will come to life and produce great fruit. The Lord is referring to his death and his resurrection, and uses that analogy from nature. The grain of wheat must first die before it produces much fruit. So this is a very interesting idea, that the Lord will not run away from the cross. This is why the Lord came into this world. And he then again prays to the Heavenly Father, and he says, Father, glorify your name. Jesus prays to his Father, and then the voice comes from heaven. God the Father speaks for the third and last time in the New Testament. So remember the first time God spoke at the Jordan River. The second time the Father spoke was at the Mount of Transfiguration. And this third and last time is in the temple. And this is one of the most important events in the whole scripture, and yet most people just gloss over it, overlook it. This is one of the three epiphanies, one of the three manifestations of the Father actually speaking out loud for Jesus and the apostles and the crowds to hear. At the river, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At the Mount of the Transfiguration, God again spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And today, God the Father says, yes, I have glorified the name and will glorify it again. See, the crowd thought it was thunder. They thought it was an angel speaking. And Jesus said, this voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now the time has come, the judgment on this world. He says the ruler of this world will be driven out. Who's the ruler of this world? It is the devil. So he will now be driven out, and says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And John tells us that this indicated the kind of death Jesus would die. The only kind of death in those days where somebody would be lifted up was in crucifixion. If you were beheaded, you were beheaded on the ground. You were not lifted up. It was only crucifixion that lifted up the person. So Jesus tells the Greeks and the apostles and the whole crowd that he would be lifted up. And when he is lifted up, he will draw everyone to himself. So what can we take from today's gospel? I think number one is that, yes, we can go to Jesus directly, but we have a beautiful understanding as Catholics of the communion of saints. Just as the Greeks could have gone to Jesus directly, but instead they went to Philip and then Andrew to go to Jesus. This is why we go to Jesus with Mary and through Mary, while we have devotion to the apostles and to the saints, because they can pray for us, right? Yes, you can go to Jesus directly, but why not go to Jesus with your favorite saint? With St. Therese and St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Maria Goretti. You can go to Jesus with these saints. just like the Greeks went to Jesus with Andrew and Philip. And then the second thing we can learn is that we should not try to run away from the cross. The Lord could have done it. He could have fled Jerusalem and gone and been revered as a great teacher in Athens, but he didn't. He continued to set his face toward Jerusalem, and he went to the cross because he knew that's what the Father wanted. This is how he would redeem and save the world. That's how he would open the gates of heaven. So in our life, you know, sometimes we don't want to carry that cross. We want to escape the cross and run away from the cross. But Jesus says, take up your cross every day. Follow in my footsteps. The cross, yes, it does lead to Calvary, but more importantly, it leads to the resurrection. And then lastly, that beautiful prayer that the Greek said, I want to see Jesus. Isn't that a great prayer? I want to see Jesus. They traveled a long way from Greece to come to the temple, and they wanted to see Jesus. See, we're very blessed as Catholics. Not only do we have Jesus in the Bible, but we have Jesus in the Eucharist. So every time we come to Mass, we get to see Jesus, right? Lifted up. When I'm lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself. In the Mass, Jesus is lifted up. We get to gaze upon Christ in Eucharistic adoration. That's what we should think about, this burning desire that all of us have to want to see Jesus. Well, you know what? As Catholics, we have that opportunity every day and every Sunday to get to see Jesus.